hello, everybody. It is Rosalie Contrite of the Contrite Catholic Blog, and I am your host, the host of this Catholic Life podcast, and I'm going to be doing a solo episode. I haven't done one in a while, and I really like being able to get all of my thoughts out there into the universe, and a few crazy people like to listen to them. So I thank you, Mom and Grandma, my two listeners. I only have two listeners, I assume. So that's why I give them a shout out. But I did want to give a shout out to a few other people. The number one person I want to give a shout out to is a woman by the name of Hansen. And she is giving me a lot to think about with questions about the faith and also just statements about how she sees the faith and really challenging me. So I just wanted to shout her out, tell her I'm loving it and appreciating it. And she's told me that she likes the podcast, so hopefully she hears this. She's giving me an exercise that I think everybody should do with their faith, and that is having to explain why they believe what they believe. If you cannot defend what you believe, why do you believe it? It's so simple and it's so good for your faith. All right. So I want to talk about a couple things today. In the first segment, I want to talk about this Catholic girl scandal. I mean, we'll call it a scandal, but it's not really like a huge scandal. That's just how I would categorize it. Anyhow, if you get on Twitter and you look under the hashtag this Catholic girl altogether, you will find a lot of opinions, jokes, prayers, and it will all go back to an article by a guy named Chase. And essentially what happened is he entered into a social media relationship with someone who went by the handle at this Catholic girl. And in essence, she catfished him. He had a romantic interest in her, and she turned out to not be who she said she was. So she claimed to be 23. She claimed to be single and a student. And he later found out that her pictures were stolen. They weren't her. And that she was 30 and married and not a student. So obviously none of that was true. Now, this guy is a lesson in charity, because I would be incensed if that happened to me. Okay. I really try to rein it in for the love of Jesus, but I have a temper. So what impressed me the most is, and especially with all the attention he got on Twitter in the immediate, you know, fallout of his post, is he is so charitable towards her and he's so calm and at peace. He told me that, you know, he has no desire to ruin her life. And we corresponded on Twitter, and I asked him if he had any advice for avoiding this, you know, in hindsight. And he said, not really, just to make sure that you do use video chat if you meet someone online, because catfishers rarely use their real picture. They very often lift them and steal them so that nobody can recognize them and be like, hey, that's not who you are, or think that the actual person who it is, that their picture has been stolen. So in this fallout, there has been a lot of opinions. There's been a lot of selfie posts in Catholic Twitter. So that's been, you know, nice to put faces to anonymous accounts. And I don't know if Chase agrees, but I think that the one thing that we can say about all of this is that just about every eligible millennial Catholic now knows who he is. And so if they have interest, they can go find him. So I guess that's the silver lining that I would see in it. And he has said that the only thing he really wants for her is to get the help that she needs, which, you know, such a lesson in charity, just not getting angry, not letting pride take over. We all could learn a lot from him. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, why would somebody do this? Now, obviously, a lot of catfishers do it because there's monetary gain. In this case, I don't know if that was a component, but I want to dissect what happened. And that is, a woman pretended to be someone that she's not. And why do we pretend to be people that we're not? You know, I think everybody has like a fantasy side, where not like creepy fantasy, but like, oh, I wish I was, a cardiothoracic surgeon, or I don't know. My daughter wishes she was a princess. But I think at the heart of these things, not when you're a child, when you're a child, it's like imagination. But when we're adults, it's a lack of humility. So we think that we deserve something else. We're not content with our state of being. And I really think that that comes from believing that whatever we have, we shouldn't be content with it. Because of course, if we were content with what we had, we wouldn't be over here wondering, what could be. Now, what could be at the root of that? I don't know. Perhaps she has a really bad home life. But I'm talking about this more generally, not specifically this Catholic girl person, but anybody when they want to pretend to be somebody else. I think, so the lack of humility is one. But I also think it's like an escapism. So perhaps when we do this, we want to escape the things in our life that we don't like, that we don't want to deal with. And I think that comes from a lack of an understanding of redemptive suffering, right? Because if we know that everything that we're doing in our life that we don't like, that inconveniences us, if we knew that that could be united with Christ's suffering, I really think that we would not dislike it so much, right? Because this is something that we're doing that we can offer up, that we can really make a difference in the world. And I cannot remember who said it, but one of the saints said that angels envy us because we do something that they cannot, and that is to suffer and to unite our suffering with Christ. And I thought that was really beautiful. So a lot of people have trouble understanding redemptive suffering, right? They think, well, if my suffering has to be united with Christ, then doesn't that say that Christ's suffering is not enough? And that's not quite correct. So I love this analogy. So let's say I'm baking a cake and one of my daughters comes up to me and says, "Can I help?" Obviously, I'm capable of making that cake on my own, but I allow her because I love her. And she really mixes ingredients and she really truly contributes to making the cake. Now, does that mean that I wasn't able to make it by myself? No, it does not. Did she actually add something? Yes, she did. And that is a lot of how our relationship with Christ and our offering, our redemptive suffering should be. It's not that we needed to suffer, because of course Christ's suffering was enough. But he really does allow us to make our suffering valuable, right? And this is what makes sense of the whole world, because if suffering has no value, then yes, why don't we fight for the right to die? It's really the right to commit suicide, quite honestly, but that makes sense if suffering has no value. It makes sense if there is no God, no afterlife, to terminate imperfect babies, because there's no value in suffering. So you can see how misunderstanding this particular topic leads to all kinds of problems, right? There's no value in suffering. Let me leave my marriage that makes me really angry and inconvenient. Maybe my spouse is sick, or I just don't want to deal with it. And if this is the only life I'm going to live, I should pursue as much happiness as possible. You get that. But if suffering has value, if suffering can be worthwhile, it's not that we want to, purposefully cause suffering. That is not Christian. But we know that we should do the right thing, even if it causes us suffering, because that isn't useless. And a lot of people, they'll say, well, I don't think the Christian mindset on suffering changes anything. But it does. You'll see there's a picture circulating of a nun on social media, and she died of cancer with a smile on her face. And it's the most beautiful, just radiant smile. And I don't think that you would see that smile on somebody who did not have the faith that she had, right? She had total confidence that all of her suffering was worthwhile. And not only that, but that after her suffering had ended, that she would be united with her spouse, who she was intimate with in a way that some of us are not, right? Because a nun takes, the Lord. She's a bride of Christ. Oops. We're real fancy over here. I just knocked my setup. So she is really actually married to Christ. And so I think she is a really good example of the difference that a viewpoint can make, even in the worst of circumstances. I've seen children who understand redemptive suffering, and maybe they have, a debilitating condition, and they can't walk and they can't do so many things. Well, first of all, they don't feel sad the way we feel sad about it, because we're always like, oh, they can't, walk and run and jump and all this stuff. But they don't think like that. They're kind of like, life has never been that way for me, so I don't miss it. And many of them that I'm familiar with are Christian, and they understand that they have something very special that they can offer in uniting themselves with Christ. And so I think instead of eliminating suffering by killing people, we should recognize their value. And now I've gotten way off topic, but when we come back, I will have a whole new topic for you. I'm going to list for you my favorite, my current favorite, they switch all the time, Twitter accounts that I know are real people.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
All right, I'm back. I am Rosalie Contrite, and you are listening to This Catholic Life. So we were just talking about the This Catholic Girl scandal prior to the break. And so I thought, in the spirit of hooking you up with real people that I know are actual human beings that exist as they claim to be, I have a list of my six favorite. Okay, I have like 100 favorite Twitter accounts, but these are the ones that were just jumping out at me at the time that I was recording. So the first account that I want to point out is at the GH is silent. Okay, so it's THEGHISSILENT. And this belongs to Tommy Tai, who is otherwise known as the hipster Catholic. He is hysterical. He has a great heart, a great sense of humor. I love this guy. I love reading what he tweets. I like his podcast. I think he has gone through some difficult times in recently and just had some really beautiful thoughts about them. He blogs, I believe, for Patheos. So, he is well known, but if you haven't heard of him, literally everything he tweets just makes me bust out laughing. I would retweet everything that he wrote if it wouldn't come off totally creepy. So I highly recommend that you follow him if you do not. That's Tommy Tai. The GH is silent. Okay, so the second one I would recommend is at Catholic Teen Posts. So it's actually at Catholic Teen PST. And there's no spaces or underscores or anything. And this is a sister account to the Instagram account at Catholic_teen_post. And that has like almost 70,000 people following it on Instagram. On Twitter, it doesn't even have 500. She's wonderful. If you're only on Twitter, I highly recommend her. I recommend her to the Catholic Twitter. She is a real person. I have FaceTimed with her, and she has been on like the Church Militant. They're piloting a show that she's going to be on, and she's definitely a real person, shall we say? She has a YouTube channel that is really brilliant. She's not even 18, and she's already got her own show, this huge Instagram account. She is just a potent defender of the faith. I think she's a great role model. If you're older and you have a teen, a Catholic teen that you allow on social media, following her can only be a good influence. She's wonderful. Let's see. The next account that I want to talk about is at Instahomily. So I-N-S-T-A homily all together. And this is by a seminarian out of Los Angeles named John. And he on Instagram does Instahomilies. So in little snippets, he gives his thoughts. I really love listening to him. I haven't had a chance to watch any recently, which I feel really bad about, because he is so brilliant. Everything he says is just great, and it's really refreshing to see such a young seminarian just on fire to share the faith and to do it in the way that the Pope has exhorted us, right? He said to get on social media and to share the faith. And John, the seminarian, is doing just that with Instahomily. The next one is at Bubbly Catholic. And that's all together, Bubbly Catholic. B-U-B-B-L-Y Catholic, all together. And her name is Lizzie, or as she has it listed, it's full of grace. And then in parentheses, it says full of Lizzie Grace. She's funny. She's real. I know that she is real. And I like that she shares so much of practicing her faith as a young person. She's younger than I am. I don't think much. I'm in my 20s, she's younger than me. Just everything she writes is so poignant and well thought out. If I can find the post that she made as it pertains to the This Catholic Girl. Here it is. So she says, "To the woman behind This Catholic Girl, we love and forgive you and are praying for you. Don't be afraid to seek the help you need." I mean, just wise beyond her years. You know, I'm over here posting Snapchat dog filters saying, "Oh, I'm really a dog," on Twitter, and she's got that. So that just shows you how far I need to go. But I'm not shy about the fact that I know that I'm not perfect. So, and she also says, "In case you are ever in doubt, I am indeed a real person. Anyone who's met me can attest to this." So she is a real person. And I just think, you know, if you're young, or if you know somebody who is young on Twitter, she's a great follow. The last person, but certainly not the least, is at Letty Adams. So it's L-E-T-I Adams. And she is a convert, and she has written an extremely exposing conversion story. And I love that about her, because I think all of us, especially converts or people who have fallen away for a while, have a past perhaps that we're not proud of. And I think that she makes us feel comfortable with the fact that you can come from anything and come to the faith and be a good Catholic. She's hilarious. I would say, you know, maybe she's not everyone's brand of evangelization, but she's certainly my brand. I adore her. And she talks about everything from the Kardashians to MMA fighting. I feel like she is really good at being Catholic in the world and not seeming like this holier than thou person. She's relatable. She's also an extremely young grandma. You'll see a picture of her. It's the at L-E-T-I Adams all together. And you'll think, no, this is not a grandma. She's way too young. I am hoping to have her on the show to talk about more of her story, to talk about her experience of conversion. But some of the stuff she says just makes me crack up. And she is sometimes on the Jennifer Fulweiler show. So if you want to hear her talk, I don't know if she's on weekly, definitely monthly. I feel like I hear her a lot. Not that it wears on me. If I could hear her more, I would. She's just fantastic. She's funny on all of the social media. I don't know if she has a Facebook page or if we're personal friends, which if we are, oh my gosh. Anyhow, follow her on Twitter. You will thank me. So this concludes my list of favorite Twitter accounts, if you're still with me. And the reason I did it again is because of the hashtag This Catholic Girl scandal. I really wanted to put out some accounts that I knew were real people that we could have faith in, because I think we're all a little bit shy. We're like, wow, how much do we know anyone that is on the internet? So I want to say a few things if you have friends in the Catholic world that you have only met on social media. First of all, don't give out your address. I know this goes without saying, but don't mail gifts and don't accept gifts, okay? Because once someone has your address, it can be a very hairy thing. Don't post the parish that you attend because that can make you a target. You need to be smart. When you take pictures, keep, you know, like landmark items. Like let's say you're in Paris, don't take a picture with the Eiffel Tower. If you have anybody that you're really close with that you've met on social media and maybe you've corresponded for a long time, I would encourage you to use video chat to ensure that they are who they say they are. That's a big thing. Anytime you feel funny about who a person is, a lot of excuses like, oh, I can't. I know we were going to video chat, but I just can't because my dog developed elephantitis or something. That should be a red flag. So if you have a feeling about it, there's probably something wrong. Always ask somebody, especially if you're about to exchange personal information with them, to post a picture with at whatever their handle is and the date. Because if they are stealing pictures, they're not going to be able to produce that. I have seen a few that are photoshopped and they're not very good. You can tell if somebody's photoshopping. And if you're not sure, reach out, tweet it and say, is this photoshopped? And I guarantee you people will be able to help you find the inconsistencies. But in general, stay safe. Reach out in your parish community. I think a lot of people feel lonely because we don't have as much community in Catholic churches as, say, Protestants do. So to that I say, as pretty much I've always said, we are the church of you. So God doesn't have anyone but you. Maybe he needs somebody to set something up and you feel like it's lacking in your parish. Go present it to your parish council. I guarantee you they will be excited to have help. You want to start a group? You want to start a Bible study? You've never done it before? There are so many good ones that will pace you and tell you the questions to talk about. You don't need to be a Bible scholar. So I encourage you to create community if you're lacking community in your life. I know that sometimes it seems like there's nobody to connect with in our area, but I promise you, put something in the bulletin. Maybe somebody that you never encounter because you go out the front door and you sit in the front and they go out the back door and they sit in the back and you would never notice them. You'll get connected. And I know that if you pray about it, God will show you how to connect with people. He doesn't leave us hanging. In my area, there are mothers of young children groups to really help women that are isolated. So whatever you are, maybe you're a young adult, start a group, get a Facebook page, get a Twitter page, something. Talk to your priest. And I know that you will have a way to create community. And that's what we're all about in the body of Christ. We are united, not just isolated. Though I do love my Catholic Twitter community, and I'm so glad that I met all of you, and especially everybody that I have mentioned today, which is at the GH is Silent, which is Tommy Tai, at Catholic Teen Posts, at InstaHomily, at Bubbly Catholic, and at Letty Adams, L-E-T-I Adams. I would really like to hear from you guys what accounts on Twitter that you really like. I need more to follow, and I really love funny people, interesting, lots of pictures people. Maybe you want to nominate your own page because you think, oh, I'm just hilarious, she's going to love me. Write me, send me a tweet. Say, I think that I should be in your new top six whenever you do it again. And I would love to consider you. So don't be afraid to send it. You can nominate somebody else too. Go ahead and send somebody to me and I will compile a new list at a later date. That's all I have for the show this week. So it's been fun to talk all by myself again, but it is time for me to go. We'll be right back.